I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish things that people say, that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said will not be a great moral teacher. He will either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he will be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he did not intend to. Last time I came, I shared a little bit about the work at Webb Street. So you guys know a bit about that. I won't go too much into it. You've seen a little bit about what the mission has to offer in regards to different ministries. So Webb Street is one amongst many ministries that London City Mission is involved with. And probably we're about a third. Webb Street falls into the category of marginalized. So we have a marginalized ministry reaching out to mainly men and women who are on the fringe of society, those that sometimes churches in London find quite a challenge to reach out to, because the majority of these people are so on very, very marginalized of society. They don't make it easy for obviously the church to reach out to, or for other agencies even to work with. So it's quite a challenging work to do. And I think the thing about this story this morning, I know I don't have, probably I've got about 10 minutes, right? Is it 10 minutes? How long have I got? Be honest. how long have I got? Half an hour? Is that all right? Okay, I'll try and do it probably about 15, 20 minutes. Don't give evangelists more time than you often, as you've seen this morning. we do a lot in London, but my heart goes out to those that obviously people find quite challenging to work with. I gave you kind of a good roundup last time of what's involved at Webb Street. Basically, we're reaching out to men and women who are homeless. Not everyone who comes to us are homeless, as sleeping rough on the streets, but we do have a number of people who are in support housing, who are in hostel, different level of needs. We have the low level of needs. We have people who are medium level of needs, and those who have a high level of needs, those who are mentally ill, chronic alcoholic or drug abusers. So all of these people come to us at Webb Street. And we've got people from a wide range of country. We've got a good number of men and women now from Eastern Europe. And the numbers are picking up, the numbers are picking up. Every day we get probably about 2 or 3 third of the men that comes to us are from Eastern Europe. And that's from mainly Poland, Bulgaria, not much from Bulgaria, Hungary, and a huge number from Romania. But the majority of Romanians are mainly the gypsies, the Romani gypsies. So there's at the moment, there's quite a bit of a challenge for us. And I think this is one of the things that I'll ask prayer for us to be able to communicate effectively to these men and women. We want to serve them the best we can. But there's a barrier in the sense that, the language barrier. We've got a staff member at the moment who will be joining us in a couple of weeks. She speaks Romanian. She's English, but she speaks very good Romanians. She's done mission in Romania. So she's very passionate about that group of people. So pray for her. She will be inundated. I can see her turning up. And then she'll have probably about 20 guys all around her trying to get her to do national insurance number, trying to get her to do job, find jobs for them. But what we find in that group of people is they're very, very open to the gospel. The Romanians are very, especially the Romani gypsies, they're the majority of people that comes to us who's already got a Christian faith. You know, they're very, very open. And obviously in their community that where they're from, they very, very marginalized. They're very marginalized in Romania. They saw the bottom, right at the bottom there. And they lived in, some of them, in abject poverty. I'm talking about mainly the Romani gypsies. So they're the people that are very open to the gospel as a means of a way out from their circumstance. So pray for this young lady. Her name is, I can remember, I'll tell you later. Pray for her that God will give her wisdom and how to go about it. And that will be a great support for her as well. The work is going well. Obviously, like I said, there's many challenges, but the staff, we've got a good bunch of staff members, so pray for the staff that they will be in twos with God's Spirit to carry on the work. Pray for our support housing, which I'm responsible for. Remember, I don't think I mentioned that last time. Did I mention a bit about our support housing? We've got a support housing called Hope Community Homes. Praise God, God's given us 3 more flats, so we're able now to provide housing for, we've got 3 men in the flat, but we're able to provide housing for 3 more. So God is good. We give God thanks for that. This is something that we'll be looking at in these next couple of months. Pray that we will get the right people in those flats, 6 flats in Brixton. Pray for me, pray for the team that I work with. We've got a bunch of guys, a support worker, but above all, pray that we'll be able to communicate the gospel. I mean, it's been great. The guys have done, a couple of them have done Alpha Course. They've settled into cell group. We find that this ministry people, again, are more receptive to the gospel. I mean, you provide, you know, a flat for somebody who's been homeless for 5-6 years. They're very, very receptive to the gospel. It's not us imposing on them, but whenever we've offered, you know, there's an Alpha group going on in this in the church down the road. Would you like to go? Staff have even gone with them for 10 weeks in evenings. So I give God praise for the staff team, for their willingness, for their love. But please continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for the guys. You know, we've got a gentleman called Andrzej, Eric, and we've got a new guy now called Chris. Pray that that we'll be able to get through these guys. It's quite challenging, you know. It's very, very challenging. Pray that they will have jobs that they will be happy with, that they will be able to maintain work, because it's usually about a month or 2 months and they're out of work, and we have to go through the process again of applying for housing benefit for job seekers. But pray for them that they will be, you know, they'll take upon themselves that God will somehow reach out to these men and get them somewhere. They haven't got long with us. They've probably got just probably a couple of more months, and I'm very concerned that they might move on and they might fall back again into, you know, that sort of vicious cycle of being homeless. But, you know, God is good. We serve a God who's able to do exceedingly more than we can think of or imagine. So pray. And I consider you guys not as supporters. I know you've been called supporters, but I consider you guys as partners, you know, partners in the great work that we do, because we're all in this together. There's no supporters in the body of Christ. There's no one standing on the sideline egging others to go on. We're all in the work together. This is the body of Christ. God has called us all here. The Great Commission wasn't for some, but it was for all of us. It was for the church of Jesus Christ to carry out this great work. And Jesus said to us that I will be with you till the end of the age. This is a great encouragement. You know, we co-workers with God. This is great. God himself is with us. He's egging us on in this great work. Pray for Graham, our new executive. He's a guy who's very committed to mission. He was a missionary in China for 4 or 5 years. And we've got a missionary in charge. We've got an evangelist in charge of London City Mission, which is great. You know, this is the first time it's ever happened. We usually have ministers, pastors, but this guy's a missionary. So pray for him. Pray for his family. He's got a young family. Pray for the mission family as a whole. It's quite challenging, you know, holding such a job with such stress and pressures, and then to have a family to go back to, and to be willing to chat with your kids when you come back home. Sometimes you don't have the energy. You're stressed out. It's quite a tough work, as you know. Some of you know, and pray for the mission families. Pray that family will stay together. Pray that the work in split families. Pray that we will have, as men and women in the mission, have the energy to be ministers at home as much as in our workplace. Missionaries struggle from depression, from stress-related illness, from other illness. You know, it's a hard work, but we praise God that He's with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And you know what? Jesus never promises that we won't go through tribulation. He says, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but take heart. So this is an encouragement for you. There will be tough time. I want you to know that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. He'll be with you till the end of the age. I mean, that's the encouragement that we have. And it's good to know that we've got partners praying for us as well. The reason why I picked this reading, I'll probably preach this before, so do bear with me if that's what I shared last time. But I believe it's a great encouragement. And what we see here is partnership in action. Partnership in action. And that's the reason why I want to share this morning. That these friends, they cared about this friend. You know, they had a friend who had a severe need. This guy was paralyzed. I'm not sure if he was paralyzed from birth, or I'm not sure if he was paralyzed because of an accident. But obviously, in those days, there was no employment support or incapacity benefit. You had to somehow survive, either families or you beg. But this guy had friends who cared for him, you know, and they brought him to the right person. They brought him to Jesus. And this is what we do. As partners, we all in this together, we bring people to Jesus. You know, at Webb Street, we bring people to Jesus through the act of kindness, for offering showers, friendship, offering food. You know, sometimes I know there's a bit of a thin line about what is the aim of what we do at Webb Street. Are we a social enterprise? Are we there to enable people to stay on the streets? Are we there to encourage them through the good things that we provide? But we see everything that we do at Webb Street is an opportunity for us to share the gospel and to bring them to Jesus. That's what we do. So we do have an opportunity every day for 15 minutes to share the gospel. 9:15 every day from Monday to Friday, we share the gospel with the men and women that comes to us. And the guys are very open to the gospel. You know, you do have the odd mumblings. You do get the heckle now and then. It's good when you get heckled because you know you're doing something good. You know they're not falling asleep. So, but pray for that time. Pray for that 15 minutes every day that we'll be able to communicate the gospel effectively. Not just communicate the gospel, but effectively. That we'll have men and women sharing the gospel effectively with these guys because we believe it's important. Of all that the things we do at Webb Street, that 15 minutes every day is the most important things. And in this story, we found out that, you know, the most important things is to have our sins forgiven, just as much as this man who met with Jesus had his sins forgiven. So these men, they loved their friend, and they had a mission, and their mission was to bring him to Jesus. But they encountered, circumstance. The Bible says that where Jesus was, there was a crowd around him that stopped these men getting to Jesus. But these guys were not put off by this crowd. You know, you guys have many challenges in your work here. You will have challenges in the great work that you do, bringing people to Jesus. But you don't have to be put off by these challenges. You try things, you've got good ideas, try them. It may not work. Think of something else. Ask God for wisdom and how, as you as a church, can bring these people to Jesus. You know, God will give you. God says if we lack wisdom, ask, and He will give us wisdom. These men were not put off, but they found other ways. And the Bible says they even went on top of the house. As you know, these houses were flat roof. They dug a hole. They lowered the mat and the man in front of Jesus. So mission accomplished. Persistency. They were persistent in getting their friend to Jesus. Their faith was persistent. And I want to encourage you this morning. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And the reason why I say that is in verse 4, he says, then they lowered the man on his mat right in front of Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man who was paralyzed, my child, your sin is forgiven. That's the crucial thing about this story. See, there was many people there that day. There was hundreds and hundreds of people there. But the only thing that attracted Jesus, the only thing that these men stood out, was Jesus saw their faith. Now, there was religious leaders there, as we will see later in the story. There were hundreds and hundreds of other people. And obviously, these people had come to Jesus because of the great things that Jesus had done. If you take time later, read chapter 1 and find out the things that Jesus had done. Jesus was baptized. God spoke out of the cloud. He said, "This is my son whom I love and I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit came down on Jesus. Jesus was led in the wilderness, full of the Spirit. He came out full of the Spirit. Jesus had authority over demons. He cast out demons of people. Jesus healed many people. So his story spread. So by that time, Jesus had become a celebrity in his days. He was different. People say, this man spoke with authority. He speaks God's word with authority. He's different. There's something about him that's different. Hence, these people couldn't get to Jesus. But Jesus saw faith in those men. And Jesus responded to their faith. I'm not sure what kind of faith. We can debate about what sort of faith they had. Obviously, they had faith in Jesus that he could heal their friend. But to their amazement, Jesus said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." And I said that earlier, that the biggest miracle that could happen anywhere, especially amongst Christians, is to have people, their sins forgiven, have people set free. We all have needs. If I go around this room this morning, you all have needs. You all have needs that you've probably been praying for God for many years or months. You all have family members who have needs. But the greatest needs, according in this story, was to have his sins forgiven. And I'm not saying that this man was the way he was because of his sin. Again, that's another debate. That's another thing that we can go into. But we obviously know the state of the world today is the way it is because of sin. When God created the world, he said everything was good. He looked at the creation and he said it was good. Everything was good. Man was good. Women was good. Everything in his creation was good. What's gone wrong? Obviously, we know the story that Adam and Eve sinned. And since then, sin entered the world. You know, Adam and Eve dwelled in perfect fellowship with God. God walked with them in the Garden of Eden. The moment they sinned, they recognized that they were naked. They were ashamed. Shame, guilt, condemnation, again, bondage, life-controlling problem, poverty, the oppression that we see around us, everything that we see that we're not happy with, that we grieve, that grieves the hearts of God, is a result of sin. So Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter. Jesus didn't want to deal with the symptom. He went straight to the root cause of the problem. And sometimes we allow the symptom around us to distract us from what the real problem is. A web street, the man and woman that comes to us, obviously, a lot of them, their life ridden with alcohol abuse, drug abuse. A lot of them have abused other people, have been abused themselves. Now we have people traffickers, we have prostitutes, drug dealers, drug addicts. And sometimes it's easy to get distracted by what we see on the surface and judge them. You know, we do take action if people we know, you know, in the midst of us, the web streets, who are criminals, we do have to take action. Obviously, we have to think of the safety of other staff, safety of other guests. But we know that the real problem with these men and women are sin. And that's why we preach the gospel. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Don't give up on the word of God. Now, don't give up on God's word. Therein lies the power. Jesus, at that point, when those men came to him, he was preaching the gospel. And Jesus clearly said before, that's the reason why I came, to preach the good news. That's the reason why I have to go about, is to preach the good news, is to heal the sick, is to free those who've been oppressed by the devil. And in the end, he showed us how much he loved us by going on the cross. Jesus said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 38, Peter says, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses." Jesus had enemies, and obviously these religious leaders, sometimes we can be just as much as those religious leaders in our thinking. They didn't rejoice in the fact that there in the midst of them was God in person. You know, everything that pointed to Jesus before, if we'd read chapter 1, if they'd known what Jesus had been doing, surely that Jesus would have stand out of any man in his days. The things that Jesus had done, he had authority over sin, over sickness, over disease. He had authority over demons. Even the demons recognized who Jesus was, because there was time when the demons will say, "Oh Jesus, Holy One of God, why have you come to persecute?" And Jesus told them to be quiet. So the demons even then knew who Jesus was, but these men, they were ignorant. The people who should have known who Jesus was, who should have seen the signs and recognized Jesus, they accused him of blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin. And Jesus, the Bible says, he knew what they were thinking. He asked them, "Why do you question this in your heart?" He asked them a question, which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Obviously, it's easy to say your sins are forgiven, because you don't see the results of sins forgiven in that instant. It's harder to say, "Pick up your mat and walk," because that'll be the hardest thing to say to this man, because you want to see results straight after that. And Jesus says in this very, very powerful statement, "So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin." And this applies to us today. You know, it applies to us. Jesus is here. I believe Jesus is here in the midst of us. And Jesus has the authority. And we know why Jesus has the authority. He was sent by God. And he is God. He is God. And he has the authority to forgive sin. It's a powerful statement. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. This is why we bring people to Jesus. This is why, you know, I want to encourage you not to give up, to continue to pray, to continue to offer acts of kindness to friends, people that you meet in your community, whatever you do here as a church, continue to do them. Yes, we have a motive. Our motive is to bring them to Jesus because we know that this is what the world needs. You know, we know that the government tries everything they could. They throw money at things. Nothing works. Yeah. The answer. Jesus is the answer. Remember that song? "Jesus is the answer for the world today." Beautiful song. I love it. "Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way." Jesus is still the answer. Jesus should be central. Praise God. Are you passionate? Are you excited about Jesus? I am. You know, I give God praise because I got saved. Somebody gave me a Bible for my birthday. And I tell you, I was a sinner. I was one of the worst of sinners, you know. Somebody gave me a Bible. I think I shared that last time. Gave me a Bible for my 20th birthday. And I read this Bible, devour the Word of God. When I got to Roman, an impossible book for an unbeliever to come to terms with, that's where I got saved. I got saved in the book of Roman. God set me free. I'm excited about God's Word. That's what I believe, God's Word. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, and I'm not ashamed as well, and you shouldn't be ashamed as well. At every given opportunity, share the gospel. Every given opportunity. There's no season for it, Paul says. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this." And the key thing in this verse is they were all amazed and praised God. Another translation says they glorify God. This is why we do what we do, so that God will be glorified. This is the sole purpose of man. This is what we're here for, so that God will be glorified through us, through the body of Christ. You know, God wants to be glorified in this area. What's this area called? Is it Witham? Witham, that's it. God wants to be glorified, and God's got a vessel that he wants to be glorified through. This church, you, individuals, wherever you go in your school, your work, your homes, God's got nobody else but you to use. He could do it without you, but somehow he's chosen to do through you. You know, we all broken vessel. The Bible says we all like jars of clay, but the power is inside those jars. The lights is inside those jars. You are the light in this community. And Matthew chapter 5, to finish off, he says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others for your act of kindness, goodness, whatever God lays on your heart. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify your Father in heaven. God wants to be glorified through you. As much as you don't think much of yourself, God wants to be glorified through you, for he's the body of Christ. You don't think much of the church sometimes, do we? But that's who God has chosen. And there's a story that Jesus got to heaven and the angel asked him, what about the great work that you started? And Jesus says, well, it's 12 or whatever, 11 disciples. I've left them to carry on that work. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, there was 120. And the number grew to this number here, millions and millions and millions. God has left us. You might not think much about yourself, but stop thinking about your insecurities. But think how big your God is, how Jesus can work through us. Praise God. So every given opportunity, bring him to Jesus. You know, cup of tea, invite them around, be a listening ear. You know, all these are different ways that we can make a difference. You know, you might be the person at work that don't join others in their whatever they do. You might be that person that everyone turns to. You might be the person that says to whatever your friends are going through a difficult time, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for your children. I'll pray for your daughter. I'll pray for your son. I'll pray for whatever, your mom, your dad. These are ways, simple ways for acts of kindness that we can bring others to Jesus. All right, I'll stop now. And let us pray before we go into our next song. Father, we thank you this morning for, we thank you for Jesus, Father. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that whilst we were dead in our transgression, we were dead in sin, we were not seeking you, we were far, far away from you, Father. You loved us, that you sent your only Son, Jesus. And we're grateful, Father, that we know that even before creation, you chose us. There's nothing in us that was appealing to you. Father, you chose us, and we're truly grateful. Father, and in response to that, Father, we pray that you enable us, as we do every day, as you do every day, Father, to be a witness for you, to be a light, to be salt for you, Father, wherever we find ourselves, however you lead us. And I pray for this church, Father, in their endeavor to reach out to be the light and salt in this community, Father, that you encourage them, that you fill them afresh every day. Father, that you pick them up, that you comfort them. At times of fail, that where they fail, Father, that you will encourage them to continue, to persevere. Just like those men persevere. Father, their aim was to bring their friend to Jesus so that he could have his sins forgiven. And there's many who are paralyzed by sin in this community who needs to be brought to Jesus. And I pray that you lead this church to do that. I thank you for London City Mission also, Father, as we, through the act of kindness, through the hard work in the great city of London, Father, we pray that we will be persistent. We will be people of